first Wednesday service at Family Church Jamestown. I'm glad you made it out. Praise the Lord. You know, you got nice weather over here. You know, we got a little late start, and then when we went up to Casadega, I mean, we almost had to stop just to know where the road was. And you know, it was real hard sledding from about Casadega to Clairville. But once you got over that hill, it cleared up. We just passed over to the other side. So I'm glad you all made it, especially want to thank some of you Fredonia folks who made it. Shame on you, risking your life just to come hear your pastor preach. Praise the Lord. Well, you shall be richly, richly rewarded. Praise the Lord. Well, it's going to be a great, great year. It is going to be a better year than last year. Now, how do I know that? Well, the Bible tells us this. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. So we can say this, every year gets gooder and gooder for the child of God. So fully expect that. Believe for that. Enlarge yourself for that. And I'm just, again, so honored and delighted to be with you, kicking off this new year here with you in a snowstorm. Praise the Lord. I want to thank Pastors Tim and Katie for allowing me to minister tonight. How many know they're not here tonight? How many know that's good? Now, what are you saying? It's good for your pastor to get away. We've been doing a study for several weeks looking at the miracles of Jesus and learning faith from those that received from Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood and all the great testimonies found in the Gospels. But over and over again, I've been emphasizing, the Spirit of God has been just bringing out that Jesus had to get away from people from time to time. And in Jesus' ministry was hard because there was always a demand upon him. He'd go across the sea and people would be waiting for him. He'd go up to a mountain and then people would come to the mountain. And we just studied together and hearing the healing of the woman's daughter from Syrophoenician woman, a daughter that he had actually had to go out of the country just to get some R&R, and he still couldn't get any R&R. Then, you know, people had great demand for him. And so it is important that your pastors have time to get away and encourage that. Pray for them and just be there for them, encourage them, because you've got outstanding pastors. And great things are in store for this house and all the family churches. Praise the Lord. Well, we're here to minister the word. And I do have a word for you tonight. And whenever I go, that's what I want. I want a word from heaven. I just don't want a canned sermon. I don't want to pick out a sermon. So this one would be good. They'll like this. I want to give you what heaven has asked of me. And so when Pastor Tim contacted me and asked if I'd fill in, immediately I looked down the inside and in my heart, and the Lord spoke something to me, and I'm going to minister it to you. Now, I've ministered this topic and something similar to in other places. I travel now. And it's been a blessing where we go, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And so what I want to share with you tonight is this, the importance of your heart when it comes to your harvest, the importance of your heart. And if you have your Bibles here tonight, open them with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And if you can find Proverbs chapter 4, eventually we'll go into Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to be blessed. We're going to be helped. It seems, you know, you figure out how the Lord uses it. This year marks 30 years of public ministry. I started preaching, you know, publicly from a pulpit when I was 19 years old. And so I've been doing it for 30 years now. And so you look at me and say, I only look like I'm 20 years old. I know it's the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. But, you know, you learn after 30 years of how God uses you, and especially as you begin to branch out in other churches. And it just seems like the Lord would have me wherever I go to bring a different side to what is popular in the body of Christ. Not that what is being taught in the body of Christ is wrong, but there's the full gospel. There, as Brother Hagin said this, you know, you climb up one side of the mountain, you get one view, then then if you climb up the other side of the mountain, you get another view. And it seems like the Lord always has me minister on the other view, because it seems like just about everyone is focusing on one view. This is the way it is. And it just seems like the Lord has me as a voice to bring the other view, just to bring balance in the body of Christ, but also to fill in the blanks. You know, that's always been my heart. You know, when people teach faith and teach principles and people, you know, sincere people endeavor to do those principles, and if they don't seem to be working, you know, they're kind of, you know, left there and wondering, was there something wrong with me? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with you. There's some other things that need to be added to it. There's some things that you need to see about your faith. And it just seems like that's how the Lord has used me of late. And so we're going to look at some things that I believe will help us all. And especially when it comes to your harvest in life. And so in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, let's go ahead and pray. That way my clock gets started. Father, we're just so honored, delighted to be here tonight. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for these precious, wonderful people. And Father, whatever you want said, may it be said. Whatever you want done, may it be done. Only you be glorified. Only you be magnified, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and this has been in my heart for some time now. I've been meditating on this. And it's in verse 23, and it reads this. It says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So here it talks about the heart. And of course, we want to identify the heart. When it talks about the heart here, it is not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about your spirit man. And we know that heart and spirit are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing. So it's talking about keeping your spiritual heart, your spirit or your heart, which is in the center of your being. And it tells us to keep it. Now, what does that word keep it? Well, it doesn't mean just to make sure it's in place. It means to guard it. It means to protect it. So here the Bible says to guard your heart, to protect your heart, to keep watch over it. And it tells us how we are to put a guard over our heart. Notice the wording. I'm reading on the King James Bible. With all diligence. That means with some effort. You know, another translation. One translation says this, that guard your heart above all that you do. Now, that brings it to a whole nother level. You know, if we just read it, keep your heart with all diligence, we say, yeah, from time to time, I'll check in and make sure my heart is right. But above all that you do. You know, there's a lot of things in life we protect. We guard. We guard our money. We guard our family. We guard our possessions, and rightfully so. But here, the Word of God says, above everything in life, you are to guard and protect your heart. Now, why is that? Why is the heart so important? Well, it tells us, for out of your heart are the issues of life. What does that mean? That means that out of here, out of your spirit, what's in here determines what happens out here. And out here is important to us, isn't it? Out here is where we want the manifestations of God. You know, out here meaning outwardly could mean our body. We want healing from our body. And our finances out here, we want more finances. We want breakthrough. Maybe you're having a difficult time at work, or maybe you don't have a job at all and you're looking for a job. And you want something to manifest out here. There's a whole lot that we want and desire out here. But the Bible brings a very interesting perspective. In order to achieve and get things out here, you got to take heed to what's in here. Out of the buns, the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible says this, out of your heart, you bring forth good treasure. And here it says, out of your heart are the issues, the springs of life. What you have in life has to do with your heart. So again, that brings perspective. Tells us why it's important to guard our heart. If we want the right things out here, we got to make sure the right things are in here. And so we're talking about our heart, and especially with harvest, because really what is out here is harvest in life. And so our spirit is important, and we're going to look at the importance of our spirit and how to have the proper harvest, how to get harvest out here from our hearts. And so we know the heart is. What do we mean by harvest? Well, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 4. Again, we're going to lay a little foundation, and then we're going to build on it. How many know when you build a house, you have to lay a foundation? And when you lay a foundation, it's not awfully pretty. You know, if you bought a piece of land, you want to build a house, first thing you start digging in mud, digging up stuff. It's not pretty. Actually, it looks worse when you start construction. You know, but it's important. Because Jesus taught us that if you build your house on something that is not solid, the storms of life will, you know, blow it away. And same thing, if you don't build your house on a proper foundation, it'll get blown away when tough times come. And so even in sermons, whenever I teach, I always like to take time, you know, and look at some scriptures and, you know, lay a foundation and build on them. And again, this is so crucial. If we want more harvest in life. And we're going to see a lot of times people are desiring harvest, but yet they're not doing the proper procedure and protocol to receive that harvest. So my goal tonight is to show you how this works and get it working in your life. That way you can experience more harvest, because that's what God wants in your life. And so in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, and I love this scripture. It's one of my favorites. Now, if you come to Fredonia Church, whenever I say it's one of my favorites, there's hundreds of them that are my favorite. All the Bible's my favorite because it is the Word of God. It is life-changing. It is living. It is powerful. And I tell you, when you get thrilled with the Word, it'll work for you. This Word has healed my body. This Word has saved my life. This Word has prospered me. And so I tell you, it is so awesome. The Word will work if you work the Word. Amen. So in Mark chapter 4, in verse 26, and these are the words of Jesus. And again, we're laying a foundation. We saw already the importance of our heart. And we're talking about the heart and our harvest in life. In verse 26, the words of Jesus say this, and he said, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as a man should cast seed into the ground. And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. Isn't that wonderful? You don't need to know how things exactly work. Long as you work them, they'll work for you. You know, I don't understand, you know, we don't have satellite TV. We only turn it on when the in-laws are in town. But I don't understand how I have this little clicker. You know, I don't know what you call it, remote. We call it a clicker. And you press a number, and all of a sudden, from that receiver, it connects to that satellite, and all of a sudden you get Fox News on. You know, I don't understand all that stuff, but I do know this. If I press certain numbers, I'm going to get Fox News. You know, and every time I do that, it works. I don't need to know exactly how it works, but it works for me. And the same thing, I love that when it's associating God that you should cast seed in the ground and how it works, how it's going to grow, how that's going to manifest. You don't need to know that. That's not your business. That's God's business. Your job is to do what God said to do. Amen? So is the kingdom of God as man should cast seed in the ground and he should sleep, rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So Jesus starts off in verse 26 and says, so is the kingdom of God. What's that mean? Jesus is saying this is how the kingdom of God operates. If you want to know how God operates, if you want to get involved in God's system and see God move in your life, you have to know this. So is the kingdom of God. And how does God operate? How does things happen in life when it comes to God's kingdom? Jesus said that is as a man should cast seed into the ground. That's how God operates. And I'm so grateful it was not some big scientific formula, something that Einstein came up with that you had to figure out the equation. It is very, very simple to see God operate and God manifest. It's very easy to get a harvest in life. Jesus said, if you can understand planting seed into the ground, you'll know how harvest operates. And so is the kingdom of God, as man should cast seed in the ground. You plant it, you nurture it, you water it, and eventually it grows, then you enjoy the harvest. And so we're talking about your heart. We're talking about harvest. So we see that Jesus said, hey, harvest comes by planting seed in the ground. And again, harvest can be various things. It could be healing in your body. It could be finance, increased finance. It could be a breakthrough. It could be a job. It could be, you know, God to turn things around in your family. Everything in the kingdom operates as a seed. And that is so important. You have to plant seed in order to receive a harvest. And it's worthy of meditation. And sometimes we miss it. You know, sometimes we think that harvest comes through prayer. Yeah. I've seen people pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And I've seen people go down praying. Why? They wanted a harvest in their life, but they didn't plant any seeds for that harvest. They prayed. You know how many know prayer is good? I believe in prayer. I'm a person of prayer. But harvest doesn't come by prayer. Not according to Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, so is the kingdom of God if man should pray. No. So is the kingdom of God if man should cast seed in the ground. And I've seen this. I've seen people that have been sick, and they just prayed and prayed and prayed and never got healed. And they wonder why they didn't get healed. They never planted a seed. And they're expecting a harvest on something they have not planted. Yeah. And so, harvest doesn't come by prayer. You know, that'd be like a farmer. Go out and get an acre of land. And he'd desire an acre of corn, a harvest of corn. That's like a farmer to go over to that acre of ground and walk and do a Jericho march and raise his hands and worship the Lord, said, oh, dear God, give me corn. Oh, God, rain corn on my land. Oh, God, give me corn. Call up the pastor. Pastor, would you please agree with me for some corn? Yes, I believe I receive corn. I call corn in to my fields. What if a farmer did that without planting corn seed in the field? Well, they would, the local farmers would gather together and approach them carefully and say, excuse me, you're doing it wrong. You got to plant seed. No, bless God, this is the way it comes. I'm just gonna call out more. I'm gonna fast now and call out for more corn. Well, pretty soon they're going to come and take them away. And we understand that. We look at that and we would say that farmer thinking he would have corn harvest without planting corn is a fool. But how many times Christians do that? They're expecting some big harvest in life. And they're praying and saying and claiming and even get more fervent in prayer and beat the pillow and even fast and say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And they never plant a seed. See, it's so important to understand this. So is the kingdom of God operates as a man casts. What Jesus is saying, this is how it operates. And sometimes we want to do it our own way, and we fail to do it God's way, and because we do it our own way, we don't see the results that we want. When you plant the seed and it grows, you'll eventually harvest that seed. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us. So is the kingdom of God. And so we shouldn't substitute anything for our seed. Prayer being one of them, good works, going to church. But also we know this, in order to get the right harvest, you have to plant the right seed. There's an acre of ground, and Farmer John, boy, he wants an acre of corn. But he has tomato seeds and peas and seed and just starts casting into the ground, and just any old kind of seed, starts throwing those seeds in the ground. And, you know, he waters seeds and said, Oh God, may this be a bountiful harvest of corn. Oh God, yes, great corn, luscious corn, full ears of corn, yes. Lord, by faith, I see corn growing in my field. Is Farmer John going to get corn? No, unless he plants corn. So is the kingdom of God. As a man that should cast seed in the ground. If we are praying and believing for a harvest, where does it start? With the seed. If there is no seed, there is what? No harvest. It is that simple. But something very interesting we read in this parable. Harvest doesn't come instantly after planting a seed. Now, I was raised to farm. Now, I was so grateful that, you know, we would have several acres of that we'd grown our own vegetables, and my mom would can it, you know, old school. But also each one of us kids would have our own little garden. And, you know, there's certain things I liked. I like sweet peas, you know. There's nothing like sweet peas and having your own cucumbers and stuff like that. So I planted in my garden what I liked. And I remember just working, you know, we wouldn't have a big area, because the more air you have, the more you have to maintain it. But, you know, a good size plot of ground, that would be my garden. I'd plant what I want. And, you know, I'd be very excited about the possibility of having peas and cucumbers and pumpkins, whatever I wanted to plant. And you know what? Not once, when I planted that seed, instantly it grew and I was eating, you know, peas and cucumbers and tomatoes. Well, I wouldn't plant tomatoes just personally, but, you know, no, we planted it and nothing would happen for a while. But look at what Jesus said. So is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed in the ground. And what does it say here? It says this, that he should sleep, rise night and day. That means it takes some time. And the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. And notice this, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and the full ear of corn, then the fruit is brought forth, and the harvest comes. And so Jesus also teaches us, not only do you need to plant seed, you need the right seed, there is time between planting the seed and getting to eat the harvest of that seed. It is not immediate, it is not automatic. And so Jesus here is talking about harvest. And we have to understand how that works. Because too many times, faith, and I'm a faith teacher, so I could say this. Too many times, faith is taught by simply following a formula. You say something, you do something, you give something, you get something. A simple formula. But Jesus didn't say that the kingdom of God is a man that would follow a formula. No, Jesus said the kingdom of God is a man should cast seed in the ground. And it's sad sometimes, you know, and again, I preach formulas to get people to act the word, but it's not merely a formula. Because if it's just a formula, that means that the kingdom of God is like a vending machine. Jesus didn't say the kingdom of God is a vending machine. Now, we understand vending machine. What is a vending machine? Well, you want some munchies. You want Mountain Dew. You want some peanuts. You want some Ho-Ohs. Whatever your treat is. You go up to the vending machine, and you put your dollar bill in, and you punch your numbers, and bam! Instantly, you receive a harvest from your formula. But the kingdom of God don't operate that way. It is not instant. And very interesting, with a vending machine, anyone can work it if they work it. Here, a doctor can come in, have a dollar bill, and say, I want a Mountain Dew. I got to drive to Cleveland. B4 puts the dollar in, instantly gets a Mountain Dew. The vending machine is no respecter person. And he goes on his way and has a Mountain Dew. Next customer comes up is an axe murderer. Just killed 3 people. Robbed a liquor store. And is driving away from the police. And it's going to be a long night. I need a Mountain Dew. And he goes up to that vending machine. Grabs a dollar. Puts it in. B4 instantly comes out. He has an instant harvest. He did the formula. And he got the results. It is no respect to person. It doesn't matter who does it, long as they do it. The kingdom of God don't operate that way. And a lot of times we teach it as a mere formula, but Jesus didn't teach it as a formula. Didn't teach it as a vending machine. Jesus kept it very simple. If you can understand, planting a seed into the ground, watering it, and allow it to grow, you will get a harvest. And in the kingdom of God, it matters who operates these things. It matters who plants the seed. And it matters what kind of soil the seed is planted in. And so we're, again, laying a foundation. So turn with me to Luke chapter 8. So we're looking at your heart. We're looking at harvest. We saw that it's so important that we guard, protect, or have a right heart. And we saw that Jesus taught us how we get harvest. Harvest comes by planting seeds, allowing the right kind of seeds, and allowing those seeds to grow. And over time, we receive a harvest from them. And so we're going to look at the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, again, laying the foundation. Then we're going to go somewhere. All right? Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. And it says, as the sower went out to sow his seed. Very interesting. So it's the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed in the ground. Jesus is teaching about the principle of the kingdom. How does he try to show people how the kingdom of God operates? Seed. And the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down. The fowls of the air came and devoured it. Some fell upon the rock, and soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. Other fell on good ground, sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And he said these things. He cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. What is he saying? Get this. Understand this. If you can understand this, you can understand my Father's kingdom. You can operate in my Father's kingdom, and you can see God's word work for you. So in this parable, we see two things. We see seed. And again, Jesus said the kingdom of God's man should cast seed in the ground. So again, Jesus says there's seed. And we see harvest here. Again, there's a correlation, seed, your heart, and harvest. We're going to see all this. Now, what is very, very important, and this is why faith cannot be taught as a mere formula. Remember the doctor before Mountain Dew, the axe murderer that robbed, you know, killed people before, and it worked, all right? And the vending machine worked for anybody that did the formula. But what is very important to see here is the same seed was being planted. The sower went out to sow. The same seed. We'll just say corn seed. Let's just use corn. So this sower is sowing corn. Now, he's not like an American farmer. You know, American farmer goes like this. Nice rows and pretty. That an Eastern farmer has a bag. This is how they sowed their seed. They didn't have equipment. The same seed was being sowed, but the harvest was different depending on where the seed landed. Yeah, same seed. Different harvests depend on where that seed landed, what kind of soil it landed. So it is not a formula. It's not a vending machine. And it was not the seed's fault because it didn't yield a good harvest. Where were the results? What determined the potency of the seed? The soil did. All right? And again, it's simple, but it's profound. It's so important. So, what is the seed? What is the soil? And we're going to see how to get this thing working for us. So, we're just going to skip a few verses. We're going to see what Jesus, how did he explain the parable? Again, seed, harvest, same seed, different yield, different harvest. It was different for different people. All right? In verse 11, Jesus said this. Now the parable is this. I'm going to explain to you the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. So, the kingdom of God is as a man should cast seed into the ground. He's not talking about corn and peas and cucumbers. What is he talking about? He's talking about the planting of the Word of God. The Bible is a seed book. God gave us the Bible as a seed book. Whatever you need in life, God has given you seed for it. This is how the kingdom operates. So many times we pray, God, I need healing. I need prosperity. I need breakthrough. And we're praying, asking. God says, I've given you seed. Plant seed, and then you'll get a harvest. This is how the kingdom of God operates. And yet we want to operate some other way. He says, God says, I've given you seed. Plant that seed. I've told you. And Jesus said this, disciples, that when they asked him about the parable of sower, Jesus said this, if you don't understand the parable of sower, you ain't going to understand anything. And so really, if you don't understand this, you'll never understand faith and how to get answers to your prayer, how to get harvest in life. It is so simple. Seed. The Bible's a seed book. Now, hold your place right there. And I'll just give you another scripture. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, but hold your place in Luke chapter 8. Again, foundation. And then we'll put it to practice. We'll show you how this works. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3. And this is another, just a scripture from the New Testament, just support the idea that God gave us seed in order to bring a harvest in our life. Whatever we need, God has given us a seed. Now, in 2 Peter 1, 3, and I believe this declares it so well. It says this, according to his, God's divine power, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we know other scriptures, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Notice, God has already given us all things that pertain to two things, life and godliness. What is that? Life means natural life. God has given you everything you need for your natural life, to live your natural life. God has given you everything you need to live your spiritual life. God has given you everything. In God's mind, it's already done. It's already complete. You have everything you need. But we say, God, I don't see it in my life. Where? I don't see it in my checkbook. I don't see it in my body. I don't see it in my family. God, if you've given to me, I don't know where it is. I'm going to put a lost and found ad in the paper. Lost, the blessing of heaven. It's not showed up, the harvest. But notice how he's given all these things. Through the knowledge of him. Knowledge, the Bible. See, I've already given you, what are you saying? I've given you all things, but it's in here. Now notice the next verse. Whereby, what knowledge of him? Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. What? He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, but he's given it to us in seed form. The seed are the promises of God. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Or you can live like God lives. Experience a life like God does. How? Through the knowledge. Through these promises. What are we to do with seed, these promises? You need to plant them. You need to water them and allow them to grow in your life. And I tell you, it is so amazing. You just take it about natural. So is the kingdom of God, man should cast seed in the ground. You take a kernel of corn. I mean, a kernel of corn won't feed a mouse. I mean, it won't feed a person. It's insignificant, a kernel of corn. You plant that kernel of corn in the ground. You water it, and every day you water it. Eventually, you get a little blade. Then eventually, you get a stalk, and that stalk can grow up 4, 5, 6 feet tall, 8 feet tall, depending on what kind of corn. And all of a sudden these ears, 3 to 5 ears of corn. You rip open those ears of corn and literally hundreds of kernels in each ear. And Jesus said, he that has ears, let him hear. So is the kingdom of God. If you'll understand that, you can release the mighty power of God. You can see harvest like never before. He showed us in nature. But what we want, we want a harvest without doing the process of planting the seed. God says, if you have a need, I've already given you all the seed that you need. We shouldn't stumble over this. It's so simple. So what do you need? Well, if I'm a farmer, I want corn. I go get corn seed. If I want tomatoes, I get tomato seeds. If I want peas, I get pea seeds. This is a seed book. Whatever you need, healing? What do you need? Well, I'll just pray and have the pastor pray, put on Facebook, everyone remember me in prayer, I'm going through such time. Now, it's good if your baby don't know anything. But it's important to understand, and this is what Jesus, so is the kingdom of God. You plant seed in the ground and you'll get a harvest. So, we all want harvest. We understand. Seed, the word of God is seed. I just need to plant the seed and it will grow like a corn. If I get a promise of God and I plant it, it will grow and it will just materialize and have great fruit in my life, and I'll eat the fruit of it and my life will be blessed. This is so exciting. All right, we got the seed. But what is the soil, Jesus? Seed is the word. I know we don't put the Bible in the ground and cover it. Where does this seed go? Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 8. And let Jesus finish his little explanation of the parable of the sower. Where is the soil? Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then come the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They upon the rock are they which hear and receive the word, where in their heart with joy have no root in themselves, but believe, and for a time temptation fall away. And they that fell among thorns are they which have heard and go forth and are choked, cares of the riches and pleasures of this life, and bringeth no fruit. Now again, we see seed can produce, but if it's in the wrong soil, it can't produce. It's not the seed's fault, it's the soil's fault. All right? Verse 15, they that are good ground, that means that harvest seed, that's what we want, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, the seed, keep it, protect it, feed it, nurture it, bring forth fruit with what? Patience. The word of God is the seed. The human heart is the soil. The condition of the heart determines the harvest of the seed. We can never blame the seed for the harvest. Jesus said this is how it operates. That's why the Bible says keep, protect, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart is a garden. Whatever you put into it will grow and manifest in your life. If you're not putting anything into it, nothing's going to come out of it. You're putting the wrong things into it, the wrong things are going to grow. But if you put the right things into it and allow it to grow, it will produce what the Bible says. So if we want greater harvest, we have to keep and protect our heart. We want 100-fold. We want 30, 60. I want to be like that kernel of corn. I want to take a promise of God, by stripes I'm healed. Put it in there. Meditate on it. Speak it over my life. And all of a sudden, the blade, the ear of corn, and all of a sudden, health. And everyone else is getting the flu. It doesn't come nigh me. Everyone else is getting sick. And boy, I'm going 3, 6, 7, 8 years. You know what? I've never taken a sick day. It's grown in my life. So is the kingdom of God if we would do this. But we instantly run to prayer. I'm not against prayer. Prayer is good, but you got to plant the seed. Prayer is like watering. If you want to harvest, you got to plant seed. How much time do we have? All right. Let's turn with me to another area where we see the importance of seed and harvest. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you getting anything tonight? So simple. So simple. If I want to harvest, I got to get me some seed. The word is seed. Where do I plant it? I get in my heart. I meditate on it. I let it grow. I, with patience, keep on that word until I have a harvest in my life. You know, a big area in our life is the need of prosperity, need of material things. It's not being covetous. It's just part of life. You know, we need to pay our mortgage. We need to pay our bills. We need to, you know, pay our taxes. We need to buy food. You know, we need these things. And there's much been said about the year of abundance, the year of prosperity, the more and more. You know, we ought to be increasing financially more every year, right? But I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to happen unless you do something. What? What could it be? Well, I'm confessing it's the year of more. So is the kingdom of God. It casts seed into the ground. You see how easy it is just to get caught up with everything that's being taught. Yeah, I'm agreeing. But I'm not seeing. And Jesus said, go back to the foundation of faith. So is the kingdom of God that should cast seed in the ground. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I love this. I love the word. So I'm going to teach you, if you'll listen, how to be blessed. But it's important that we laid this foundation. Being blessed isn't by having your pastor just lay hands on you or just, you know, saying something. Being blessed comes by planting seed in the ground. Now, look at this. Remember, given to us great and exceeding great precious promises that by these you might have the divine nature. And so God gives us promises. Let's look at one. This one excites me. And if it doesn't excite you, I will take your harvest and take your seed. You know, farmers can plant as much seed as they have soil for. There is no limit, brothers and sisters, to this. God isn't going to say that, you know, that's enough seed, my brothers, my daughters, my sons. No. He has an everlasting supply if you'll plant it. You can as much harvest as you want if you'll just do the process. 2 Corinthians 8:9. This is a wonderful, precious promise that we want, right? All right, let's look at this. Oh, I got the Pastor Tim anointing. That means we'll be here till midnight. 2 Corinthians 8:9. See, that's my problem with my boys. I taught them all how to start, never taught them how to stop. I don't know how to stop myself. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Now let's look at, I said all that, 40 minutes saying all that to see how to get this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might barely make it, not have enough, and glorify God through your misery and poverty. No, Jesus was made poor that you might be rich. The Bible calls it the grace of God. We are saved by grace. We are healed by grace. We are rich by grace. Jesus became our sin in order that we might be made his righteousness. Jesus took our infirmities and our sickness on him in order for us to be the healed. Jesus took our poverty and our lack on him, that we might be rich. Rich means fully supplied. That is God's will. That is an exceedingly great and precious promise. We're thrilled with it. But it ain't going to do you any good unless you do something with it. What? Well, I'll run. Woo! Well, running's good. I'll have pastor pray and agree with me that this would be so in my life. So is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed into the ground. That word into our heart. And the thing is, I've been a farmer. You just can't plant seed in the ground and walk away for a few weeks. It will never grow. You have to water it, you have to weed it, you have to tend it until you harvest it. I tell you, if you're serious about being fully funded and fully supplied, You'd get very serious about the seed that you're putting in your heart, and you keep in your heart with all diligence. And you keep watch over it. You keep the fowls of the air away from it. You keep doubt and unbelief away from it. And says, no, I'm going to see this thing through. I'm going to be rich God's way. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to have any lack in my life. Physically, mentally, spiritually, I'm going to have everything God has for me. So as the King of God has managed to cast seed in the ground. And he stays with it until it shows up big in his life. All right. So let's look at this. Turn just one page, or the next chapter. So God gives us these promises, but we got to plant them. And let's look at this. 2 Corinthians, I'm fixing to start, not to close. That was my introduction. It's only a snowstorm. We'll just stay here until the morning until it clears. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he that soweth seed sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Seed, harvest. Let every man, according to, as he purposes his own heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8. God is able to make all grace. Remember, it's the grace of God that Jesus was made poor that we might be what? Rich. God says, I'm able to make all grace. Release every grace. How does that look like? Towards you. That you always... Always what? Having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. You know what that says? Other translations bring out so well that when God pours his grace on you, that you always have enough money for all of your needs, no matter what comes up, no matter how high the taxes go up, no matter how many times the car breaks down, no matter how many times your kids need new sneakers. You have all sufficiency. You have enough for every need in your life. But it doesn't stop there, but all sufficiency for every good work. That means, yeah, we got plenty for my family. We took care of all our bills. We're all filled. The kids got new sneakers. Oh, you need some money. Oh, the building needs to pay off. Let's give to this. The missionaries in town, we can give to this. The Salvation Army kettle, I can give to that. That's what rich looks like. How many want that? Yeah. How's it come? Seed, harvest, grows, and materializes in our life. And right here, it's so beautiful. You see the seed, you see the soil, you see the harvest. We're excited about verse 8. But in order to get verse 8, what do you have to do? Verse 6 and 7. God, now get this. God is able to make all grace. God wants to pour out all of his grace in order for you to be an example of his goodness, you to be an example of his supply. God is able, but that means he just can't do it automatically. He is waiting for something. What is he waiting for us to do? Seed. Planted in the heart, then he can cause the increase to come. You know, I have a very nice car. It will do 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. Twin turbo, V8, you know. It can hum, it can go. It is able. Right? It is able. But, driving up here tonight was the full ability of my car able to release itself. Not if you have any sense, you don't. Why? There is snow. There are cars with four-way flashers going 15 miles an hour in front of you. There are semis. Don't know where the roads are. And we had a couple people didn't know that this is our side of the road. You get back on your side of the road. We were not able because there were obstacles, there were things in the way. But if I were to take my Snow White, that's what I call her, and go to a track, there's no other cars, there's no stop signs, there's no snow, then Snow White is able to do what Snow White can do. Yay. Like taking off in a jet. All right. God is there wanting to pour out all the grace in your life, but he has to be able to do it. We don't need to convince God to give us a harvest. We need to work the word. Then God can work. How? The man cast seed and ground. So verse 8, in order to have verse 8, you have to do verse 6 and 7. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. What is that? Seed. And boy, I wish I had time to teach on this. I've laid this foundation, but people still don't get it. Jesus said, how you sow is how you're going to reap. You know, and there's people that have been given the same amount for 20 years and see no increase and wonder why there's no increase. A farmer, if he has an acre of ground, plants 5 kernels of corn. That's all God can do for him. 5 kernels of corn. God will do the maximum yield in the 5 kernels, but it is not going to fill that whole acre of ground. If you want more increase, we were excited about that old grace. When we said God is like that black my BMW and wanting to pour out, we were excited. Well, I'm showing you how to do it. If you want more, you have to what? Plant more seeds. We know Luke 6:38. Remember that one? Give seed, and what? It'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You plant a kernel of corn, I tell you, you get more than a kernel of corn back. It's pressed down, shaken together, running over. But Jesus said this, the same measure you meet, that's what's going to be measured to you. And somehow we think if we ask God to do something, he's going to change the measure. He said, no, I'm limited by your measure. If you measure out a quarter of a teaspoon, God's going to take out your quarter of a teaspoon and he's going to multiply it. But how many know a quarter of a teaspoon multiplied isn't very much? It isn't going to fill in a gallon sack. But dear God, I need more. God said, I can't unless you get more seed. And if you need seed, the Bible says he gives seed to the sower. But too many times we're eating our seed, not planting our seed. The definition of insanity is sowing the same things over and over again, expecting a bigger harvest. God don't work that way. God says it's as the kingdom of God is man sowed seed in the ground. The same measure you meet shall be measured to you again. The importance of the seed. You want more harvest? What? Big revelation here tonight. If you want more in 2017, you what? Sow more seed. Want more health? Get more health scriptures in you. You want more confidence? More confidence scriptures in you. All right. And we understand that people teach that. But as we saw in the parable of the sower, it's our heart that determines the ability of the seed. So it's not just throwing seed, because wayside got seed and the fowls there ate it up. Stony ground got seed and it didn't produce anything. Thorns got choked out. Hence, verse 7. Every man according to his purpose and his heart. What is your heart? It's the soil. And I want to say something. You know, many times we hear it's important to sow into a good ministry. That is true. What is more important, what's in your heart when you give? Jesus said, your heart is the ground. Notice it says, Jesus, God addresses the seed, but now he addresses the soil. Let a man give as he purposes his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able. God says if you increase your seed and you do it in the right heart, then I am able. Notice as a man purposes in the heart. You may hate me, but if you'll do what I say, it'll bless you. You know what most Christians do? They come to church, and the offering's ready to get taken up. The Bible didn't say, give, then purpose in your heart, then have pastor pray. That's why it don't work for you. The Bible says, as a man purposes in his heart first, then let him give. That means your offering ought to be written out. You ought to determine what you're going to give before you ever got to the service. No farmer plants seed, then starts working the soil. He works the soil, then plants the seed. And you see why it doesn't work. Grace and the bound. Oh, and pastor prays. Oh, yes, I agree with that. Then they purpose in their heart. It ain't going to work for you. Seed don't work that way. You ought to purpose. You ought to be, Lord, what would you want me to give? And notice it didn't even say the Lord telling you what you purpose in your heart. It's here. But if you're just paying it like a bill, you're wayside. God can't do anything with that. Because it never got into the heart. I love something that Dr. Webb said. He said, you ought to treat your tithe as if it's radioactive. Let me help you with tithing. Do you want to get it to work for you? God said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. There's been Christians tithe for 10 years and never saw the windows of heaven. Why? They tithe, but there's nothing in their heart. It's never in right soil. You know what I do? Is before, during the week, as the increase comes, I fill up my offering envelopes and I put them on my coffee table in my office. And there'll be sometimes 3, 4, 5 offering envelopes. Then when Sunday morning comes, of course, I've been preparing for the services, I bow my knees before God. I worship him. I honor him. I begin to praise him that I'm in covenant. The Bible says, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives. It says, Lord, you receive my tithe. I'm given to the church here, but you receive them. And I just thank you for full yield. I am so grateful, so thankful to be in covenant with you. And Father, now in your very own presence, you said if I'd give it, it'd be given back to me. You said that you'd open up the windows of heaven. You said that all grace will bound towards me. And Lord, I have my heart in the seed. I release faith in the seed. And I'm so excited to give you the seed because you love a cheerful giver. What did I just do? I just took that tithe and those offerings and I just made myself good ground. And I'll tell you, if you'll learn to do this and take very carefully and worship God and purpose in your heart, every seed you grow, you're going to see a greater harvest. Don't be wayside. Don't be stony ground, thorny ground, and just treat it like paying a bill. God says if you will increase your seed and if you will prepare your heart, and there's so much I have time, but I'm already gone way too long. And you make sure your heart is right, soil. Remember, parable of the sower, the seed was the same, but the heart determined the yield. If your heart will be right towards the seed you sow, God is able to make all grace abound to you. You always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Well, I'm going to have to close. So, you know, let us pray. Father, we're just so grateful.